Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. From verse 51 to verse 53, the Lord Jesus speaks about opposition and division. Opposition and division which would arise as the result of the preaching of the gospel, as the result of some people hearing, receiving, believing, while other people hearing would reject. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. The message of the gospel, people respond to it in different ways. And those who reject often have a hostility towards the message and sometimes towards those who believe it. What happens is this message has a certain power. What happens is that people respond to it with a certain intensity. Those who receive it with a spirit of enthusiasm. It stirs their souls up. It is not an abstract theory which has no bearing, practically speaking, on our daily lives. Here is, let's say, a theory from physics. Very interesting in its own way, trying to explain something about the very nature of matter, the very nature, physical nature of the universe. Does it have an impact on my life? No, not really. So I'm not interested. One way or the other, whether it is true or not, it makes little difference to me. Here's a theory from economics. It's about the stock market. Is it a theory that says you can make money in the stock market by doing A, B, C, X, Y, Z? No. In fact, it says the opposite. It says that you can't make that much money in the stock market, perhaps little at all. Well, since people are interested in making money, this particular theory, not that influential, not having great impact upon people, upon their thinking, upon their hearts, upon their lives. For some people, the worship of Christ, and I say this between quotes, is a matter of ceremonies. Ceremonies that are repeated, ceremonies that are somehow dull and uninteresting, perhaps in a language which we do not understand, or even if in a language which we understand with words that people don't commonly use, fancy words that don't register, that don't carry that much meaning, that do not have an impact. Of course, if some people say that this is the worship of Christ as far as they are concerned, they can say what they want. But according to the Bible, the gospel is a living message. Not something dead and dull, something that touches hearts, that draws a real response. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can think of it as an attack upon the kingdom of darkness. It is not strange that the world resists. It is not strange that wickedness rises up. Look at 1 Peter, where twice the Apostle Peter speaks of fire. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My spiritual life is not supposed to be something along the lines of what? A log lying on the ground. It is supposed to be something that is filled with activity, with intensity, with life. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, رسالة بطرس الأولى صحاح 4 والعدد 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, so that when his glory will be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I am come, Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? This is what the Lord Jesus said. I am come to send fire upon the earth. Now, we do not see him at any point in time starting fires in forests or anything of that nature. We do not see him carrying a torch around with him, trying to set fire to various objects, places, or people. And therefore, it is most reasonable, most logical, to understand that in some sense, he is speaking figuratively. إنه الكلام هو مجازي. مجازي. Keep in mind that if the meaning is figurative, that doesn't mean that it's not real. People use figurative language all sorts of the time. To say that this is figurative is not to diminish from it. It's not to change it or alter it or try to be somehow clever in interpreting it. It's trying to be sound, logical, biblical, reasonable in understanding what the Lord Jesus said. I am come to send fire on the earth. Let's think of the nature of the gospel, first of all. And let's think of the fact that as we look at this message, the message of the gospel, that we see things that are unusual, that we see things that are extraordinary. إشياء غير متوقعة منشوفها برسالة الإنجيل. Keep in mind, it is a message that is not merely intellectual, that is abstract and theoretical. رسالة هيك نظرية ومجردة ولا تلمس قلب الإنسان. Quite the opposite. Yes, of course, it is for man's mind, but it is also for man's heart. We see in this message, we see the love of God. It is a message of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think for a moment of God as the creator, which of course he is. Think of the vastness, the hugeness, the scale of God's creation. So great, so large is of course not just our world, but beyond that, the universe. And everything worked out in so much detail. Now, some people would think that a God who created such great things and vast things, that he would not care about his creation. Why? Oh, so many different things in so many places. Why should he care? And indeed, this is what Psalm 8 says, when I see the sun, the moon, and the stars, the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? And there are many people who believe in a God, who believe in a God who created man and who created this planet and universe and so on. And they say that somehow he's too great to care about men. Too great to care about you. Too great to care about me. But that's not what we see in the Bible. The message of the Bible is here and in many other places, perhaps surprising to man. God cares about you. God loves you. This love prompted him to leave heaven above, to come to us in the form of a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, both God and man, coming to us in such humility, suffering the opposition of men, bearing a cross to Calvary, offering himself as a sacrifice for sin. Love offered to those who were his enemies, to those who are rebellious and undeserving, offered freely, an act of goodness, grace, mercy on his part, no merit, no deserving it from our side. Love which is eternal. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many people speak this way as you think of various man-made systems of belief? The hymn writer says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. This love is offered to us freely. And again, this is something that people find surprising. And in fact, in various ways, they rise up against it. No. People should earn their salvation. People should earn their acceptance. People should merit, deserve, work for God's favor. In effect, what people do when they say that is that they refuse God's love. They do not accept it as it is offered to them freely in the person of Christ, in the message of the gospel. Why is it that I do not want the message of the gospel? Because in some sense it condemns me. Because it says that I cannot earn, that I cannot deserve, that I cannot work for my salvation. I can't tell you how many times, not a million times, but not once or twice, I've heard this common proverb that people use here in Lebanon, الإنسان ما بيأخد معه إلا أعماله. A man takes nothing with him except his works. This is not what the Bible teaches. Of course, those who do not receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior will stand before God and will be judged based on their works. And this is clear. This is clear from Revelation chapter 20. The books were opened and the dead were judged from what was written in those books according to their works. But that only results in what? Only results in condemnation. Only results in condemnation. Romans chapter 3 says, the things which the law says, it says so that every mouth will be stopped. لينسد كلتم. And so that all the world will be guilty before God. لكي يكون العالم كله مذنب أمام الله. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. بأعمال الناموس لا يتبرر أمامه ذي جسد. And therefore we conclude that man cannot be justified by works. نستنتج إنه الإنسان لا يتبرر بالعمل. Therefore he must be justified by faith apart from works. لابد بالتالي أن يتبرر الإنسان بالإيمان وبطريقة منفصلة عن أي أعمال. عن أي أعمال. People don't like this and they don't like it intensely. They rise up against it with hostility and enmity. Galatians chapter 6, let's read verses 13 and 14. Galati 6, 13 and 14. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Man wants to share in salvation. Man wants to share in any credit or any glory that is associated with salvation. But the Bible tells us that no flesh should glory in his presence, that according as it is written, let him that glories glory in the Lord. The Bible tells us that he will not give his glory to another. I'm come to send fire on the earth. Other teachings of the gospel result in opposition from men. Think of what the Bible teaches regarding the universal priesthood of believers. إنه كل إنسان مؤمن هو كاهن. The universal priesthood of believers. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. رسالة بطرس الأولى أصحاح 2 والعدد 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, that he should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. رؤيا إصحاح واحد والعدد 6. And he has made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Every believer, by God's grace and by God's arrangement and working, every believer can appear before God himself. Every believer can hear God's message and respond to this message and come to the Lord and offer himself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. There is no elite group, no special class of people who have spiritual authority over others. There is no special subset, no special group of people by whom you or I must receive forgiveness of sins. People who somehow administer salvation to us. People who turn on the faucet so that we can drink. The Lord Jesus, the Lord said in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, come to the waters. And the Lord Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He didn't say, let him come to Peter, or let him come to Mary, or let him come to this person or that person who serve as intermediaries and who therefore, in one way or the other, control the process. No such group has ever existed, not in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament either. Yes, not in the Old Testament either. In the Old Testament, there was a priesthood, but at the same time, the Lord spoke to the people and told them, you are a kingdom of priests. In fact, the statements that I read in the New Testament, they correspond to statements in the Old Testament. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham did not receive salvation and forgiveness of sins through, let's say, Melchizedek. the just shall live by what? Shall live by faith. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Men li fi sama ghayrak. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire before thee. That they dispense salvation. If some people say that they forgive sins, then the gospel is against such teaching and those who hold it. And such teaching and those who hold it are against the gospel. Are against the gospel. I have not come to send peace upon the earth. You see, it's not the fact that the Lord Jesus wants to cause trouble. But if some hold to the truth and others oppose the truth, what should happen? Should the truth recede? Should the truth somehow make itself disappear? Should the truth give up, give in, concede? Why? Because so-and-so will not be happy? Let so-and-so not be happy. Remember what Nehemiah said when he was building the wall along with others in the city of Jerusalem? And the people who were around, they were unhappy. And at one point they said, come and talk to us. Come and let us discuss things. Come and let us talk things over. And Nehemiah said what? He said, I can't come. I can't come because I'm doing a great work. I am doing a great work. Other teachings of the gospel, which can have a powerful effect on men and which men sometimes turn against. The reality of hell. The Bible teaches that there is heaven. The Bible teaches that there is hell. In some sense, if we want to take what the Bible says about the afterlife, if you want to call it that, and if you want to deny half of it, then what's to stop you from denying the other half? If you want to say that half of it is wrong, then what's to stop you from saying that the other half is wrong? The Lord Jesus spoke about hell. The Lord Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, this is figurative language. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Nobody's hand was cut off. Nobody's eye was plucked out. It is the importance that is being expressed of what? Of responding to the message and not letting anything stand in the way of accepting the message. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, than having two hands to go into hell, the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not. And again it says, the fire is not quenched. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. Thessaloniki teni, ashah wahad, wa min adad sab'a ila adad tisa. 2 Thessalonians, and from verse 7 to verse 9 of the first chapter. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not God and that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11. رؤيا أصحاح 14 والعدد 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Hebrews chapter 10. And beginning with verse 28, Abraniin Hashra, Wabtidean min al-Adad 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be counted worthy who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, Vengeance is mine, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 says that our God is a consuming fire. لأن إلهنا نار آكلة. Is it the popular message? Is it the message that people want to hear? No, 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 no. God is merciful. God is merciful. Yes. And he came unto us in the person of Christ. But when his mercy is rejected, there remains only judgment. And this judgment is just. It is according to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Another thing that sometimes people don't understand, it draws a negative response, a hostile response, and sometimes quite intensely. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read verse 18 and verse 20. Corinthians الأولى 1:18 وأيضا 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Sometimes what happens is people make fun of believers for witnessing. People make fun of believers for sharing the message of the gospel. And many people go beyond making fun. And there is a resistance there to the divinely ordained method by which the Lord has chosen to make his message known among men. The Lord Jesus said, I haven't come to tickle men's fancies. I haven't come to please men in what they say. I haven't come to stick my finger up and see which way the wind is blowing and to go with the current, to go with the wind. I haven't come to do what? To do ما يطلبه المستمعون, what people demand. I came to this world to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said, What is truth? And he walked out. And he crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. I have come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth. I tell you rather, but division. People respond, apart from God's grace and God's Spirit working in their hearts, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Isaiah 53 and verse 1, who has believed our report? من صدق خبرًا. And remember, we looked at them recently, the people in the synagogue of Nazareth. I personally would not have imagined that they would have responded as they did respond. But how great was their enmity and their hostility? They wanted to take the Lord Jesus They wanted to take the Lord Jesus and throw him off, off the cliff into the valley. In this part of the world, people say things, another great proverb in our society, أَنَا وَخَيِّ عَلَى إِبْنِ عَمِّي وَأَنَا وَإِبْنِ عَمِّي عَلَى الْغَرِيبِ. Me and my brother against my cousin, and me and my cousin against the stranger. I stand with my family, and I stand with the people from my village against those who are outside. Here they were doing what? Wanting to kill the Lord Jesus, wanting to get rid of him, all because he did what? All because he read from the book of Isaiah. He read from the book of Isaiah. He said these things are being fulfilled now. And he mentioned to them what? He mentioned to them that Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath and that Elisha healed from leprosy, Naaman the Syrian. And for that reason, they wanted to kill him. And this is the way the world is. Once in a while, you have people who tell stories of the corruption that exists in this country and the problems and the difficulties and how people do things in very wicked ways. And they say, this is Lebanon. This is man. This is the wickedness of man, that God would come unto man, and that men would say, not Christ, but Barabbas. This is the wickedness of men. I'm come to send fire on the earth. Let's think of this picture in another way. Let's think of fire as a picture of the message of the gospel in terms of God's children. The world responds by rejecting. The world responds by creating trouble. The world responds in a way that leads to the division that is described in the passage in verses 52 and 53. Let's think of fire another way. Let's think of the fact that fire by many people was regarded and continues to be regarded as something pure. Something pure. In old times, they thought that the elements of this world, Anath al-Alam, were four. Earth, water, wind, and fire. Earth, water, wind, and fire. And they thought that all things were somehow composed of these four elements mixed with each other. But earth and wind and water had a tendency to indeed combine with each other in various ways, whereas fire tends to be alone and not to combine with other things. Fire seems to exist alone, to stand alone. People try to mix different things with the gospel. People try to take the message of the gospel and bring into it relics and holy water and incense and special clothes. And they give to these things such great prominence that the message of the gospel is completely overwhelmed, at least as far as they are concerned. There is no real hearing of it. It is corrupted out of existence as far as they are concerned. God is spirit, and the ones who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. Romans 14 and verse 17. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? The message of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you should give me a lot of money so that I will build a big building. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Someone I know once went to a quote-unquote ceremony in a traditional church. And in this ceremony, the priest asked, who died for our sins? And there were a group of people there. Not a single one gave an answer. Now, I don't know whether they gave an answer. They knew the answer, didn't give it. Maybe they were afraid or thought that if they answered that he would ask something of them. But no one gave an answer. An answer. Well, what are you there for? For a baby to be plunged in water? Is that the means of salvation? This is tares that are planted among the wheat. But even though some people can be affected by some things of that kind, yet we can say that the message is pure. Fire is pure. Fire is cheering and comforting. Fire is cheering and comforting. Out in the wilderness, what do people try to do? They want to start a fire. And you see people trying to rub stones together or a couple of sticks and trying to get a fire going. Acts chapter 28 and verse 2, when they were shipwrecked on the coast of Malta, the Bible says that the barbarous people there, they showed us no little kindness because they kindled the fire. They showed us no little kindness because they kindled a fire, and they received us, everyone, because of the present rain, because of the cold. What do old places, old homes, old houses have in them? A fireplace. A fireplace. And even to this day, when heating can be done in ways that are different and more modern, still some people like to have a fireplace. In the Old Testament, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Led the people, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as the Lord Jesus disappeared from among them, and then they came back to Jerusalem. What did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've come to send fire on the earth. I've come to send something pure, something cheering and comforting, something that is testing. Fire is used for the purification of several substances. لنقي ونطهر مواد معينة. In the Old Testament, you could find several passages which speak of gold and silver and things of that kind, which were going to be used in what? In the tabernacle or in the temple. You can find several passages which speak of these things being pass through fire, a piece of jewelry, something that we think may be valuable. How do we know whether it is? Examine it with fire. One idea or the other. Is it true? Is it right? Should we believe it? Should we hold to it? Examine it in the light of the gospel. Examine it in the light of God's word, because the words of the Lord are pure words. This is Psalm 12 and verse 6, Mazmur Nar Siti. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Purified seven times. The Church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. They thought that they were rich. They thought that they were increased with goods. غني واستغنيت وليس بحاجة إلى شيء, and I have need of nothing. You do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind. بائس وشقي وفقير وأعمى وعريان. I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. أنا بنصحك أشير عليك أن تشتري مني ذهب مطهر منقى بالنار. Remember how it speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of believers and of their works being tried before God. And it says that every man's work will be revealed by fire. The fire will try every man's work of what kind it is. النار حتجرب عمل كل إنسان من من أي نوع هذا العمل. Fire is trying. How do we know what's right and what's wrong? Oh, put all the ideas on the wall and throw a dart at them. No. Try it by fire. Try it by the message of the gospel. Fire is also aggressive. It is in the nature of fire. It is in the nature of fire to spread. To spread. You take this message and you should not keep it to yourself. You should pass it on. The world doesn't think that way. Another saying that I've heard several times, كل واحد على دينه الله يعينه. Everyone believe in his own way and God will help him. Don't try to persuade another person to change from one thing to another. That's fanatical. That's extreme. هيدا تعصب انه تجرب تغير حدا من خط إلى خط أو من فكر إلى فكر. You go to your own church and let him go to his own place, whether it's a church or otherwise. And everyone do their own thing on their own without disturbing others. What did they say in Thessalonica? They said, these who have turned the world upside down have come here also. هؤلاء الذين فتنوا المسكونة يلي قلبوا الدنيا فوقاني تحتاني. These have come here also. Fire does not keep things to itself. It gives light and it gives warmth and it gives protection. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire in my bones. And I could not forbear. كلمته كانت مثل شو؟ كلمة الرب كانت مثل نار في عظامي. I could not quiet. There's no reason to meddle with others. Let's just draw a circle around ourselves and be happy with what we have. And then you will gain the respect of others and you'll gain the acceptance of others. And you'll end up with you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours and that kind of thing happening. And after all, we are already an elite, aren't we? We are the best people. So why should we reach out to others? The madman of the land of the Gadarenes wanted, and it was a commendable thing in certain ways, he wanted to be with the Lord Jesus, to go with the disciples. Especially, remember that this is what he said in the light also of the rejection of the people of his area. Right? When they came and they saw what had happened to him, and when they saw what had happened to their pigs, they said to the Lord Jesus, depart from our coasts. Depart from our border. Here's the madman of the land of the Gadarenes. He wants to say, well, I'm going to depart with you. The one who healed him, the one who freed him, the one who saved him. But the Lord Jesus told him what? No. Go home. Go home to your friends and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you. And he went and he published in the whole area. And the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus came again to that area, that the people received him. They were willing to, at least to listen to him, because they were waiting for him. In the Athens, as Paul waited for Timothy and Silas to come to him from Macedonia, the Bible tells us that his spirit was stirred in him because of the idolatry of the city of Athens. And so he began to speak to everyone and anyone, people in the marketplace. He encountered philosophers, Stoics and Epicureans. He didn't somehow shrink before them and become shy and ashamed because they have their own thoughts and their own learning. And pretty soon he ended up in the court of the city, and they asked him to speak there and tell them of this new teaching. And though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. The Bible says necessity is laid on me. This is the way things should be. It is necessary. It's natural. It is unnatural to keep the message to myself. If the gospel is fire, then the believer should be fire as well. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? He said, my bonds in Christ are made manifest in all places. This is Philippians 1. وثقي قيودي في المسيح أصبحت معروفي في كل مكان. And then in Philippians chapter 4, he tells the believers in Philippi, he tells them that the believers here send you greetings, including the believers who are of Caesar's household. Who are of Caesar's household. If the message is pure, then the children of the message should be pure. The Bible says that our hearts have been purified by the truth. The Bible says that he who has this hope in him purifies himself. الذي عنده هذا الرجاء فبه ينقي نفسه. God's children should be like a fire, spreading the message without fear. As the Lord Jesus told his disciples from the very beginning, the small group of people, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. He told them, you'll stand before kings and before princes. It will be given to you what to say. God's children should also be zealous. Zealous to live the truth and love the truth. To share it with others, yes. Also to apply it in our life. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. غيرت بيتك أكلتني أكلتني. God's children should triumph. Should triumph. The fire should never go out. 2 Corinthians 2 and chapter 2 verse 14. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, who always leads us. الذي دائما يقودنا في موكب انتصار المسيح. The God of peace will be with you, and he will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. Remember that when the day of Pentecost was come and the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, there was what manifestation that accompanied his presence? Tongues as if of fire. ألسنة كأنها ألسنة نار. That came upon them. Do you have fire in your life? The fire of God's truth. The fire of God's presence. The fire of God's power. Or are we cold and gray? May the Lord help us. The Lord Jesus came to do what? He came to send fire upon the earth. He came so that we would be filled with his power and with his strength. This is what he did when he was here. This is what he did through his disciples. And this is what should continue and should be true in your life and mine. The world can sink what it may, and 3 can be divided against 2, and 2 divided against 1. But that will not stop God's fire. We need to ask ourselves whether we are bearing this message as we should, with the strength that it deserves, with the devotion that it deserves, with the intensity, with the reality, with the power which it deserves. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you, Lord, for the coming of our Savior. We thank you, Lord, because he did not stop to say what is popular with men and what fits the time and what is in fashion and what is it that people will find acceptable. But rather, he spoke the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We know that men are not naturally inclined to receive this truth. We know that they are not naturally inclined to believe this or to accept it, but rather to rise up against it, even as Cain did against his brother Abel. And yet we pray that you would make this fire in our hearts to be always burning. Jeremiah said, I could not forbear. His word was like a fire in my bones. We pray that you would help us to be pure. We pray that you would help us to be cheering, comforting, to be a light, to be a guide. We pray that you would help us to spread your truth to those around us, to be filled with zeal and love, to desire to live unto you to the utmost, because you gave yourself for us to the utmost. And so we pray that you would remove from us any coldness and any worldliness, and that you would draw us closer to your will, closer to your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.